expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
And what is going on, everybody? My general co-hosts are not here today. They are out and about doing some family vacation stuff. And so Mark, Linda, they're out having a fun time. I have a special guest in here with me today. His name is Ian Smart. He is the founder and one of the co-founders of Stake here in Reading. And they're just a cool outfit that had stepped up to protect our city at a time when a lot of people were really concerned about what had been taking place. Ian, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, my name's Ian Smart. Lived here all my life. Local business owner. Started Stake in NorCal when we heard about some protests coming into town and some agitators that were close by, and just wanted to get a conversation going about it, and it's kind of exploded into something a little bigger. Now we're doing all kinds of cool stuff and patriotic things and getting people together.
That's awesome. So what are some of the events that you have coming up, if you have anything or anything in the past that you've done that you want to talk about?
Well, the original thing we did was gather a bunch of people together to make sure that no one came to our town to cause problems, burn buildings. That was what we started with. Since then, we've done a couple different things. We've done some flag parades, and we were part of a Trump rally at the lake, and helping other people use our platform to do things that need to be done in our community, like go protest against tyrannical government over healthcare issues currently. Mm-hmm. So this last week, that was what we did. Did a couple of protests, one down in Tehama, one here in Shasta. And we just want anyone that wants to get involved, come on over and, throw your stuff up on our page. Let us know what's going on in the community. We want to help.
Awesome. So full disclosure, I have actually been a part of Stake now since its inception. And I've enjoyed going out there. I've seen firsthand that it's all from a place of love. In fact, I saw several times to where we actually had gone miles away from where there was any activity to where there was any danger, and we just wanted to lag back unless there was actually danger, physical danger to our city. Because what we're seeing is in a lot of these places across the country is that you have business owners and property owners that their places of business are just being burned down to the ground, and the police are not doing anything about it. They're afraid, and our police, their hands are tied in a lot of these cases and a lot of these instances. And take a look at this Breonna Taylor thing, because the media is just absolutely complicit in sharing and spreading lies and putting out this information that, oh, well, this person got shot. And you have some of the people within the media that are going out and they're saying that, oh, this person got shot while they were sleeping in their bed with a no-knock warrant. Well, none of that was true. In the case of Breonna Taylor, the warrant was originally no knock. It got changed beforehand. We now have audio, at least, and I believe video. I haven't seen the video, but I've seen the audio. Heard the audio, I should say. But I heard the audio, and they clearly go up to the door. They knock on the door, and they go, hey, we have a warrant. This is the police. And so she goes, no, there's no warrant here. And goes, we have a warrant. This is the police. And she goes, no, there's no warrant here. And that's when they break down the door. Well, she's right there in front of the door, and her boyfriend, new boyfriend, I should say, not the boyfriend they were originally after, but nonetheless another guy that may or may not have been up to no good, started firing at the door. Well, even he says that they did, in fact, knock on the door, and that we did, in fact, hear them say something, but he thought it might have been the other boyfriend trying to break in. And so it's a tragedy all around, but is it something that the police were at fault for? I mean, you had the shot that got shot from the boyfriend inside behind. He shot an officer in the femur. And in the femoral artery, which that can be a kill shot if not treated. I mean, what are we expected to do for officers? And the officer that most of these people are out there calling for people to arrest and kill and stuff like that in the street from all these people that are just rioting, the officer that actually ended up getting tried and going through this process, he wasn't even the officer that shot Brianna. So, what the heck? But anyway, we've got an interesting show here lined up for you guys today. And one of the cool things that is going to be taking place is towards the end of the show, around the last 30 minutes, we're going to have the creator of Wimkin, who's going to be on the show with us. And it's the Facebook alternative site that I've been telling you guys about for the last few weeks. And I'm really looking forward to telling you about that. But first, let's go ahead and get into some stuff that just reads and sounds like the Babylon Bee. Because some of this folks you cannot make up. Let me see. I got to get this up here. I just had it. That's not fair. Normally, I have a Mark that'll step in and say something. All right, right here. The death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pushed me to join the Satanist temple. I am a 40-something attorney, mother, who lives in a quiet neighborhood with a yard and a garage full of scooters and soccer balls. I'm not the type of person who would normally consider becoming a Satanist, but these are not normal times.
Wow.
It reads like the Babylon Bee. So she goes on to say, like many other women in the United States, I learned of Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing. My first reaction was not of fear or grief, but fear that the American citizens are inching closer to a theocracy or dictatorship, and the checks meant to prevent this from happening are close to eroding beyond repair. And I wanted to segue this into some of the things that are taking place and some of the news that we had that recently came out. So we now have a justice that is going through the process of being appointed, and we know who it is. And all of my links are messed up. All of them. This is going to be a fun show.
All right.
So we know that Amy ended up getting this. I'm going to wing this, folks. We know that Amy ended up getting this, and she is somebody who ended up studying under Justice Scalia. She had quite a bit of experience studying with him, and he was actually the favorite assistant to Justice Scalia. So we have some evidence that she, if he liked her that much, she's very likely going to be a good individual for the job. And the left is attacking her based upon her religious views, which the irony of this is it's actually unconstitutional for people within that side to attack her based upon religious beliefs. The thing about the position of Supreme Court is you have to be well-versed and you have to know the Federalist Papers. You have to know the Constitution. You have to have a good understanding of what the founders do and did. And you have to be able to rule based upon the evidence that we have in order to keep our nation and the sanctity of our nation truthful. And so what we're seeing right now is the Democrats are going through and they're saying things like, oh, this is unprecedented. It's never happened before. 29 times in American history, there's been an open Supreme Court vacancy, and it happened in a presidential election year. 29 times. Or in a lame duck season before the next presidential inauguration. This counts vacancies created by new seats on the courts, but not vacancies for which already had a nomination pending when the year began. Such happened in 1835, 36, 1987, and 88, and the president made a nomination in all 29 cases. So this is not new, and it's time for a break. So you are listening on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
And we're back on another beautiful Sunday morning. Ian Smart, my guest over here.
What up?
And Travis and Sue backstage helping us out.
How you doing?
What is going on? So my computer is just completely locking up, so we're going to be rolling through some of these things, and we might just go a little bit ad-lib and have some conversation. Oh, we're back. All right. So I had been telling you guys a little bit about the Transition Integrity Project and some of the things that have been taking place last week with our elections and with some of the things that they had been going through and saying and doing in our elections. So the Transition Integrity Project is a project that's built upon the quote-unquote predication that they're going to make sure the election stays safe. However, it doesn't appear to do that. And the leader of the Transition Integrity, the founder, calls for the execution of former Trump official.
Oh. Sounds about right.
Neil Gisman, the founder of the so-called Bipartisan Transition Integrity Project, called for the execution of former Trump administration National Security Officer Michael Anton in light of Anton writing critically about the group's efforts to steal the election and secure a victory for the Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. This article on the National Post is what I'm reading from. But this guy, he actually goes through and he tweets out and says these things about this guy in a bipartisan group saying that we should execute somebody who wrote an article kind of exposing the guy. Go figure. Ian, what's your thoughts?
It sounds like a typical liberal ploy to me. Anytime they claim it's bipartisan, I question whether that's true or not. So,
well, the funny thing about all these things that we see time and time again is they go through and they come up with these fancy names, like the health project for the kids when they go through and start sending messages out to your 11-year-old telling him to masturbate himself during COVID and send him sites to links on where he can find pornography to 11-year-olds. Wow. You've got to really, really love the health projects of what they're doing in order to take care of our kids these ways. So, Nadler proposes Democrats to expand the PAC Supreme Court in 2021 if Trump nominee is confirmed. They're going through and saying that if you go through and confirm the nominee, because it's so historically unprecedented, it's only been done 29 times before, if you go through and do that, they're saying that when they get in office, they're just going to go ahead and pack the Supreme Court and fill the seats back up to where they have a majority so that they can push the bills through that they want. And now they're starting to back off on that a little bit because the Republicans are like, well, if you pack it to, let's say, 13, then we'll just pack it to, let's say, 19. And then we'll just continue going there. And so let's go all the way up to 2090 and we've got 900 Supreme Court justices making decisions, and this is a reality we could be facing, but what we're seeing time and time again right now is, from the left, they're the kid that's losing at chess, and they flip the board over because they can't stand it.
Yeah, the kid in the grocery store that didn't get his way and is throwing a fit.
Yeah, it's you see this, and what we were talking about before, it's 29 times this has been done. And in fact, in 2016, just prior to President Trump becoming elected, they were trying to push through an Obama appointee to fill a Senate position. And the reason why that didn't end up going through is because you have to have the Senate to be able to pass the person and go ahead and actually say, yes, we approve of this person. This person is now going to actually go on to become the Supreme Court justice that we're appointing. And they didn't have the Senate. So they didn't end up saying that we're even going to take a vote on it because we're not going to vote this person in. And Obama had turned around and said, well, it's unprecedented to not do this. I personally feel like they should have had a vote on it and just put it forwards, but it wouldn't really have mattered because even at that point in time, with the things that they were doing and the people that they were trying to place in, they weren't going to go for it.
I was completely surprised that they didn't push someone through back when Obama was in president.
Well, the reason why they couldn't is because you had to have those Senate votes. So right now we're in control of the Senate. So the fact that he can appoint somebody and the Senate votes are going to push it through, those are the checks and balances.
I thought that they had the Senate then, but...
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
At least from the way that I had heard it. So there's a couple new movies that have come out recently. One is called Infidel, and this guy is phenomenal. He's an actor that has broken into the political elite of Hollywood, and he was in The Passion of the Christ. And actually, while on set in The Passion of the Christ, he got struck by lightning, along with another who was working on the project, and one guy actually got struck twice on set.
Wow.
And then, you know, like those metal floggers and stuff like that when they were going through and showing the depictions of him being beat? Well, he had a steel plate that was on the back of his back when he was filming that. And one of these steel floggers, the side of it, it missed the metal plate. And it actually ended up tearing into him. And so some of that film, you actually saw him literally being struck and gashed like 2 inches deep on his side.
Ouch. I think the director said, get him one time. We need authenticity.
So this guy, he recently had this movie, Infidel, that came out. And he was going through and talking about it online, and I'll see if I can find the video here and play it for you. But he had probably two of the most powerful minutes that I have ever seen on video. I might need to get checked in right over here. All right, we're going to try to play this through the soundboard. And like I said, folks, we're running a little bit short-staffed today, but I wanted to still be able to update you guys and give you guys some good information. And let's see if we can get into this right now. All right, go ahead and activate this over here. Nothing? Okay. I'll send it to the people on the soundboard on the inside. Start at... we'll go to the next story for now. We'll get it after break. All right. Next one up is two Louisville police officers were recovering after Wednesday's shooting. Suspect is in custody. And we're seeing this taking place all over the country right now. There's also some information about the Proud Boys, which are apparently set to be heading up to Oregon to the tune of a few thousand of them. The Oregon... governor has actually said that they are declaring a state of emergency for the state of Oregon currently right now.
Funny they didn't call for that sooner.
Well, and it's only because this Proud Boys organization, and a little bit of history on the Proud Boys. my opinion from doing my research on them, kind of what I've seen on them is that they're not a racist organization. They're a patriotic group, I would say. And at the end of the day, from looking at their organization, they're more of a drinking fraternity with patriotism at its back. A long time ago, they had two members within the organization which said some racist things, and they ended up exiling those two members, and yet they still got labeled a white supremacy organization, despite the fact that the guy that was in charge of all of it was a Cuban in Florida. And so it's... If they're a racist white nationalist organization, they're kind of bad at it.
That's textbook. As soon as anyone organizes anything, you're a supremacist group. So, well,
and this is the mindset that they have right now, it seems. It seems like that anybody that is nationalist, and they put the label white in front of it just because a lot of people within this country are white. And so... this is the thing that they do. They do these word games and they play with it, because you have things like nationalism, which nationalism just means that you're placing your country first. You're caring about your country and caring about the needs of your country and your countrymen over the needs of another country, which that doesn't really sound like a bad thing to me.
It's not a bad thing.
But to these people, it is a bad thing, because what we're seeing is that a lot of these individuals, they're Marxist in nature. They want the destruction of the family. They want the destruction of the government. And they want the destruction of a government that protects us. They want control of the government. But they want the destruction of the government that protects our rights. Now, the best way to do that is to turn around and say things like white nationalism and things across that nation, because nationalism by itself, it's just protecting your country and caring about yourself.
Absolutely. I have no problem with nationalism. I have a problem with globalism.
Yeah.
You know, you want to force that down our throats and then, like you said, add the word white to nationalism to create a facade that we're bad people. We just believe in our country, and we're here to stand up for it. And that's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're just going to do something a little different today. I think we're just going to have a conversation here on stream. We have a lot of the information that's been out here in the news and otherwise, and we've covered a lot of it. We've got 2 minutes, then we're going to go to break. But we have a place in our nation right now to where – we make a choice right now in this election, and I'd say it's probably the most important election that we have in the entire country of our lifetime. Because one side, you're choosing to literally destroy our system, and one side, you're choosing to continue our system as the way it's been. And what it comes down to is our founders called this the American experiment. And this is the decision that we get to make right now on whether or not the American experiment continues or it goes away forever. And then we become just like every other country. What's your thoughts?
I think the American experiment is right on. I think the alternative is just crap. You know, what are you providing for us? You want to defund police and create anarchy?
Yeah.
You want socialism? You don't want people to work for a living? You want everyone on subsistence?
Mm-hmm.
You want everyone to be subordinate to your government? I don't believe in it one bit. So.
Yeah, and what we've seen is we have these places like Minneapolis now that they have crime spiking, and it's higher than it's ever been before. I mean, the statistics on it are, oh, we got to go to break. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing, wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
The Lowrider is a little higher.
You don't get better music than that. You just don't.
They don't make them like they used to.
They don't. We have Travis in there DJing for us. I said, play us whatever you want, Travis. And Travis just nailed it.
There you go.
Right
yeah.
on. So we have Ian here with the Steak Group. He's our fill-in today for Linda and Mark.
What up?
And we have Travis over in the studio. And
how you doing?
We have Sue, who's helping to teach Travis.
I'm praying to Travis this morning. And, yes, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460.
Absolutely. And so we are, I think we're all kind of in training a little bit. I decided to throw my neck out there and say that I could run the show on my own and do all the good stuff. Eh? And I'll tell you what, it's a little bit of a different game when you don't have the banter back and forth, but it's also a learning experience that's fun for everybody. So, Ian, we were looking over this a little bit, and we had the Democrats are making a U-turn now on mail-in voting. The Democrats have been using COVID-19 as a pretext to try to change the way America votes, but now it looks like there's a bunch of them that are saying, oh, well, we need to go vote in person, because it seems like a lot of the things that they have been trying to do and get away with, we're starting to see election fraud crackdowns and some of these mail-in ballots, like 9 military ballots that got tossed over on the side of the road, and more ballots that ended up getting tossed that were absentee ballots just in the trash that were unfilled out. And so at this point, they're not declaring whether or not it's actually voter fraud or whether it's just an accident. But in any which case, you have accidents like this. It kind of leads you to wonder, what's your thoughts? Are you going to be going in person?
Yes, I'm an absentee voter usually all the time anyways, but I always turn my ballot in myself. Mm-hmm. I like to know ahead of the time what I'm voting for, and I've always just done it that way. I think mail-in voting promotes fraud. It's corruption in general to just blindly ship out mail-in votes to everyone.
Well, and for our listeners, the difference between absentee ballots and mail-in ballots is you have a chain of custody that you are requesting a mail-in ballot to your address.
Yes.
You have instances to where 1,000 voters got sent multiple ballots.
Saw that.
And that was just recently. That's 1,000 votes.
Yeah.
That theoretically they could go through and fill out to whoever they want. And some districts in some areas, I mean, we're talking about 7,000 votes making the difference on who gets elected.
I'm glad to see Democrats seeing that, you know, it could go bad for them too. Cheating is wrong. You know, the voting is the foundation of our government, foundation of what everything stands. If that gets compromised, what do we have?
Yeah.
We don't have a, you know, a democratic republic at that point.
No, and it's funny that it, it's funny and it's both sad at the same time, because you have Joe Biden, which has gone through time and time again now, and he's tried to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And he constantly fails at the part to the republic. He can't get it out of his mouth. It's, you know the thing.
You know the thing.
And he goes, for real? When it gets to that part. I don't know. I mean, there's been some theories going around that he's just the Manchurian candidate style and he can't even say republic.
They rubbed the hair on my leg. And
and so we're seeing a lot of this across the board, but this is not something that's new. I mean, look at Hillary. She still, to this day, has not conceded that she lost the election in 2016.
She's a bitter woman.
We're seeing a bunch of just sore losers across the board, and they don't want to abide by our system. So, oh, well, you ended up getting the chance to pick the Supreme Court nominee, and Trump's done a great job picking him. I mean, I'm honestly a little wishy-washy on Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
I wasn't real big on him. Gorsuch, yeah. And Amy, I would have liked to see more history on her, but I think they ended up kind of choosing her based upon the fact they didn't have a lot of history to go after her on, so the attacks that they have to try to stop her appointing is going to be weak attacks. And in fact, the attacks that they're using on her right now are unconstitutional attacks because...
Oh, they're terrible.
Yeah. I mean, when did our country have a situation to where if you have the values, like Mike Pence, for everything I know about him, he has Christian values. He has the desire to be faithful in his relationships. He won't go into an interview with a woman alone with her because of all the Me Too stuff, but also out of respect for his wife and not have anything happen.
Can you blame the guy?
Well, yeah, and ironically, people like Kamala Harris, they wouldn't be in the position that they're in if they didn't go into the room with these individuals alone. I mean,
yep.
Her backstory is one of definitely promiscuity up to the top, and it's dark when you see that a nation is going these routes, and you literally see, I mean, you have Page News on the Huffington Post saying how I turned to Satanism after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and the funniest part about that whole story is that the Satanist church, they actually were like, ah, no, she's not with us. You gotta be pretty bad if the Satanist church says, nah, we're not gonna go with this one.
Yeah.
But, so aside from that, let's go ahead and take a load off and look out to the future of some of the things. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and he's one of the guys that I really enjoy listening to get opinions I may not agree with. And Tim Cast, he's another one. He's a left-leaning libertarian, but he's got some good insights, and he sees it and tells it like it is a lot of times. I mean, we may not agree and meet eye to eye, but he was undecided until recently. He comes out and he's like, yeah, no, I'm kind of leaning towards Trump on this one. Like, it's bad when you see what's going on with Biden, and even Joe Rogan, he's like, do we have to pretend that this guy's not actually dead?
We need more people like that to stand up. I mean, you got so many moderate Democrats that are going along with this crazy left-wing agenda, and nobody's standing up to their own party.
Well, and I feel, honestly, like there's a lot more moderate Democrats that are out there that
yes.
are not in agreement with this. Because I think it's showing up in the polls, and you're seeing it with a lot of these individuals that are turning away from this whole idea, and it's... We're more of a no-party system right now. Because I don't think the Republicans are happy. I don't think the Democrats are happy. I know I've been independent all my life, with the exception of this year, because in California, unless you're a registered Republican, you're not going to be able to vote for Trump in the primaries.
Yeah, I'm registered Republican, but I don't like any of them. I'm a conservative, and that's what it boils down to, my beliefs. But I have to be Republican to vote Republican.
Mm-hmm. So well, and that just felt wrong to me.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, and let's say you're registered as Republican or Democrat, and let's say at the final day, just before you go cast your vote, you end up having a situation to where horrible news comes out. I mean, they've been trickling some of these stories about from both Ukraine and China in the mainstream media about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the stories about how he was over there in Burisma making $50,000 a month for a no-show job. And they're trickling little portions of this out because a lot of these stories and some of this news that's breaking, I mean, it's bigger than Watergate.
Yeah.
And they're giving you little by little, and then they're coming out and saying, oh, well, that's old news. We already covered that, and we already debunked that. And then you're like, okay, well, where did you cover that? Well, look, I'm going to point you to CNN article about it. Hmm. And then you ask CNN, where did you cover that and say that it's been debunked? Well, I'm going to point you to MSNBC article.
Snopes.
Yeah, and it just goes around in a circle. And yeah, you see these fact checkers, and there was one of them that Joe Biden comes out recently, and he says that, oh, well, the virus has killed 200 million people, and it's going to be around 200 million people by the time I finish this speech. And so he goes through and says this, and at the end of the video, they do a fact check on him because he also said some stupid stuff about guns, saying 130 million people around there have died from gun violence in the United States. And you're just looking around, you're like, dude, there's only 200 and something thousand people actually around that age that could be shot. I mean, there's 340 million people across the nation. They're all dead. I don't even know how I'm talking to you right now. But
that guy continues to impress every day, I tell you what.
Yeah, he's slipping. So back over on Televisio or whatever the Spanish station is, he's doing this interview, and the guy's clearly leading him with questions, and he goes through and he says that, well, we're gonna freeze all deportations for the first 30 days unless they're committing felonies and otherwise. And he's saying stuff like this, but he's reading it off this teleprompter that you can clearly tell that he's reading off a teleprompter because he goes, oh, I lost that line. When the guy asked him what he was going to do again, and the guy starts covering for him again, and he's like, oh, well, we can come back to that later. Let's just go to this. But I don't think there's going to be debates.
I hope there's a debate. Just let us have one, please. Let's show the world what Joe's all about.
Well, and I'm concerned, honestly, because I don't want Trump to get overzealous and think that he's got this in the bag. He can't come off across as a bully because at times he's come across as a bully.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for people that have attacked him. And he needs to be able to start moving into a place to where he can unite people and throw hard punches when he needs to. And I think we're seeing that. Like in the town hall debate, he was very concise. He actually was on point in a very vehemently negative town hall to him. And you look at the questions on Joe's pre-recorded town hall and the ones to where they go through and they ask him questions about how bad Trump is. That's not real hard to answer. They're like, Joe, Trump's been doing all these bad things. What are you going to do to stop him? Well, you see, I'm going to not be Trump. Orange man bad.
Yeah.
Everybody applaud. And
that's all they got to say to their listeners.
Yeah. And so I personally don't think we're going to see it, but I'm concerned that all he has to do at this point is come out and not drool on himself, and the Democrats are just going to go wild for Joe. Because at this point, the bar is set so low, it's a fiasco now at this point. Kamala Harris is already come out and said several times, it's the Kamala Biden ticket. And he actually said it the same day. And, yeah, it is. Over 50%, according to the polls, don't believe that Joe Biden's even going to finish his first term.
That's the only reason they're running the guy. You know, they want Kamala in there. That's been the plan.
And with that, we've got to go to a break. You are listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
Redding Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
I'm pretty sure this could be the song of 2020.
I agree. That's why I picked it.
So we are here today. I'm your wonderful host today, Fires Embrace. And we're here today with Ian, who is one of the co-founders of Stake here in Redding.
Hello.
And we've got Travis over here running our DJ in the studio.
Hello, everyone.
And so we were just talking about how the Camilla ticket is really what you're voting for. And it's funny because you're seeing in all these articles that they're painting her as the centrist figure, and that this person is, and she's not really far left or far right. She's just kind of right there in the middle, going to unite everybody. That would be great if she didn't actually sit further left than Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And you look at her policies and the things that she's supported. I mean, she supported and signed on, just like Joe Biden, to the Green New Deal. And we're talking about things that are absolutely going to destroy our economy and destroy our jobs. And people have not really been looking at the tax implications. So under their plan, you're looking at having about $2 trillion annually in increase in taxes. And it's, if they're saying that publicly on the record, you know it's going to be more.
I'm hearing 70% of your wages are going to go to taxes.
It could be. And you see a lot of these places, like the Norwegian model, and over there in the Nordic states, they actually had a cap until recently of about 80% that's how much they could take of your money. And then they're like, well, we probably can go ahead and remove that cap. We can just make it to where we could take 100% if we want to. Oh, and we're also going to charge you for several years after you leave in case you decide to pack up and leave, like a lot of businesses have been doing, because they can't afford it. You have people that are paying more in taxes than they're actually making in those countries.
You can vote your way into socialism, but you have to fight your way out.
Yeah, and there's no good way to go about it. And now It was surreal, folks. If you have not been in a gun store recently, go to a gun store. Have a look around at what's actually taking place. Because, like, over here at Old West, I was in there yesterday. Their guns, their handguns are gone. You're going to find relics that are in there. I mean, you're going to find six shooters, and you're going to find guns that are from the 1900s that are still, like, $1,100 to $1,200. And they're out of ammo. I mean, pretty much everybody's out of ammo. So I was at three different gun stores yesterday to find a Glock. And I really wanted to pick up a new Glock because, you know, Glocks are cool.
Yes, they are.
And so going through that, it was surreal because ammunition, I mean, I was over at Nice Shot, too. They were telling me that it's like $39.50 for a box of 50 shells for 9mm right now.
Wow.
For 5.56, almost a dollar a round. I mean, this is across the country, folks. There's an underpinning to where people are scared. And it's a scary time, because what we're seeing right now is the beginning of socialism, communism, stuff like that. And people are freaking out on both sides, because you have red-blooded Americans that want to stay red-blooded Americans, and you've got red-blooded Russians that have been going through and doing that. Not all Democrats are red-blooded Russians, but a few. And they seem to be the people that are in the media. They seem to be the people that are in Hollywood. And it just cracks me up how you go through and you see these individuals that are trying to set Trump up, like with the whole QAnon thing. I personally have never been a big fan of QAnon. I think that there's been some things that have come across that have been on point. There definitely has been child sex trafficking and stuff like that that's been going on at a level that's insane. And when you look across the thing, this is a good point to remind everybody, I don't think Jeffrey Epstein actually killed himself.
No, he did not.
And I don't know what the whole Geek Squad situation was there at the maximum security prison to have the cameras go down, two guards be asleep, and then him getting the ability to hang himself, and then afterwards seeing that the report on the actual autopsy, it said it's actually not really consistent with a hanging. It's more consistent in strangulation, which they just wanted to blow over those facts and not really consider them at all. But when you look at the implications that these things had, I mean, this is the highest level of our government. And we recently have situations with the FBI, their text messages and their emails that are going up to the highest levels. And they're showing how under the Obama administration, you had a situation to where they used information from a Russian spy that was already on a blacklist not to use information from to come up with the Steele dossier and otherwise to be able to implicate Flynn. You had these search warrants that were never really done or issued on a U.S. citizen without probable cause, being Flynn, so that they could go after him. And it was all for an incoming election and for individuals that were going across it to mess with him and mess with Trump. And at what point do we say, hey, there's some serious treasonous activities that have been happening within the three-letter names of the individuals within our government at the highest levels, and they're all knowing about it. They were joking about wiping their phones, and then come to find out they wiped their phones.
Where is the accountability?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we're asking for as Americans is, you know, bring these people accountable for what they're doing. As far as I'm concerned, bring back hangings on the White House lawn for these people. This was treason.
Yeah. Oh, and I've actually been wondering about it because there's certain things that have been going on within the Democratic Party that are 100% treasonous. And at what point do we say, hey, the Democratic Party might actually be a terrorist organization at this point?
I've been saying it for years.
And it's scary because you have these individuals which are talking about completely undoing the foundation of our checks and balances. They don't want checks and balances. They don't want a system that can go through and say no to their outrageous ideas. I mean, we're talking, you have negative rights that were given to you by God against the government. We're the only nation in the world that has rights against their government.
And people want to give that away.
Yeah.
People want to put a mask on their face.
Well, and this is the thing. So you have the CDC, which came out and said that racial inequity and racism is now a pandemic. It's a national health crisis. And the problem that I see with everything that's been taking place over this whole COVID stuff, regardless of the legitimacy of how bad or how dangerous this thing is, first, I'll remind everybody, you have a 99.6% chance of living from this. More people are dying every year from obesity than they are from COVID. So, I mean, if we're going to say that, oh, well, it's all about saving all the lives and we're going to go ahead and shut down businesses, okay, shut down all the fast food. Because really, I mean, that's you just said that you have the ability to do that in the case of a national pandemic. And because we're not fighting back, you're giving them control over these things that you are not going to get back. You're going to have to fight to get those back because you set a precedence. Oh, well, you can shut down all these businesses. You can tell them in the name of health what's going to happen. Well, guess what, folks? Now racism is a national pandemic. And now, if you're white, you're automatically racist, according to a lot of the teachings that's going around in our schools, white fragility, all the rest of it. And so, I don't know, maybe you existing is part of the problem.
That's what I'm hearing.
And you have, I was hearing this lady on, she was talking on the TV show, and she was a BLM person. And she's like, well, we're not going to kill white people today. And it's like, what about tomorrow? What about the next day? So you have right here, House Democrats are preparing new $2.4 trillion stimulus plan with unemployment aid and direct payments. House Democrats are preparing new smaller coronavirus relief package expected to cost around $2.4 million as they try to forge ahead with talks with the Trump administration, and a person familiar with the plan said on Thursday. Now, my whole problem with this, I personally was not happy with Trump when he signed the previous stimulus plan.
Agreed.
That was terrible, and it had so much bulk and glut and all the rest of it that was in it, that it's going to increase taxes for every man, woman, and child alive to the tune of about $18,000 so that you can get a $1,200 stimulus check in the mail. I'm sorry, that's not a good investment.
No.
And this is what we're seeing. If you go back and you look at our national debt before President Bush Jr., before that ended up taking place.
Junior.
Before that ended up taking place, it was like right around $4.7 trillion, if I'm not mistaken. And you go through and you look after that, it fluctuated and went up to, I believe, like $8 to $12 trillion, and then under Obama after that, it ended up going all the way up to like $22 trillion, and now we're just swelling to where I think by the time Trump's presidency is over, we're going to be at like $40 trillion.
Wow.
And you're talking about, I mean, this is
passing the buck.
Yeah. This is our kids. This is our grandkids that are going to be paying this. It's not going to be us, because we couldn't. Not with the amount of money that's been spent on these things. And so you have people like Gavin Newsom. He just signed 2035, I believe it is, that you have to go through and get rid of all of the gas-powered vehicles in California by 2035.
He's out of his mind.
And this is from the same guy that says, oh, yeah, well, wind and solar is kind of a bad idea because, you know, it doesn't always have sunshine out, and it's not always windy. And so we have rolling blackouts in our states, unlike any other state.
Where are they going to get all the rare earth minerals?
Yeah.
For these electric cars?
Well, and I'm all for, the thing is, and we're going to have to go to a break soon. How much longer do we have? Okay. So we're going to have to go to a break soon, but we'll end up taking this up on the other side. But what we'll talk about is the electric vehicles, the cost of the production, the cost of what it actually takes to put them into place, and where the energy for these electric vehicles comes from in the first place.
And the disposal.
Yeah. Yeah.
How good are they for the environment, really?
For real. So you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herron. Explosive new evidence calls into question evidence used by the Obama Justice Department to launch an investigation into the Trump campaign. Here's Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew.
The Steele dossier began as opposition research by the Clinton campaign and was eventually used by the FBI to justify opening a probe into Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. The Senate Judiciary Committee has now released documents indicating the report's main subsource was a person previously deemed a possible national security threat. The documents also indicate the FBI knew about the anti-Trump informant's possible role as a Russian spy, yet used the Steele dossier to open a probe and justify FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. Bob Agnew reporting.
Meanwhile, President Trump made a direct appeal to black voters this weekend with a slew of targeted policy pledges if he's reelected in November, including making Juneteenth a federal holiday.
President Trump, speaking to supporters in Atlanta, unveiled what he dubbed the Platinum Plan for black voters, outlining what a second-term policy agenda could look like for African Americans. The plan leans heavily on economic proposals, such as tax cuts for minority-owned businesses and additional money for broadband and internet access to foster job and educational opportunities. The campaign event, hosted by Black Voters for Trump, featured several prominent black public figures, including Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson and Heisman Award winner Herschel Walker. Bernie Bennett reporting.
New Japanese Prime Minister Suga says that he and Chinese President Xi have agreed in talks to work closely together by holding high-level meetings, including summits. He did not discuss a possible visit by Xi to Japan, but that might be in the offing as well. Lebanon's Prime Minister-designate resigned yesterday amid a political impasse over government formation. This deals a blow to French President Emmanuel Macron's efforts to break a dangerous stalemate in a crisis-hit country. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I know that on those tablets Mr. Moses brought down is the commandment to not covet. But I'll confess, my neighbor and his lawnmower is making it tough. He's got this stand-behind, ride-along space shuttle that covers probably three times more space than my trusty old lawn boy. So, when we have who mows the fastest races, which are completely fabricated in my head, he has some impressive advantages that I just don't have. And at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed to have a pretty special advantage of our own, and one that could be a big deal for you. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We our United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The foreign minister of Belarus is warning Western nations against imposing sanctions or other restrictions on his country's disputed presidential election and following crackdowns on protesters.
The Belarusian diplomat tells the virtual UN General Assembly meeting that sanctions or other restrictions will, in his words, have the opposite effect. He also says sanctions will be harmful for absolutely everyone. His pre-recorded speech was played hours after the latest in a series of large demonstrations in Belarus. Belarusians are protesting the outcome of the August 9th re-election of President Alexander Lukashenko.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Google's parent company has reached a $310 million settlement in a shareholder lawsuit over its treatment of allegations of executive sexual misconduct. Alphabet Incorporated will prohibit severance packages for anybody fired for sexual misconduct. News and analysis at townhall.com. Something new at the Beijing Auto Show.
Ford, Nissan, and BMW have unveiled new electric models for the Chinese market as the annual showcase opened under antivirus controls that included holding news conferences by international video link. Automakers are looking to China, the first major economy to start recovering from the coronavirus pandemic, to drive sales growth and reverse multi-billion dollar losses. Auto China 2020, postponed for March, is the first major trade show for any industry since the pandemic began. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
First it was toilet paper, then disinfected wipes, then coins, computers. Now desks are in short supply because of the coronavirus. Millions of kids logging on to virtual school this fall have parents scrambling to find furniture for them. It's a small indignity compared to the kids who don't have home internet or computers, but still a hassle for parents lucky enough to have the space and money to buy a desk in the first place. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Under God, indivisible.
There we go, y'all. So we are back. Let's do a little bit of good news. I think we're a little bit tied down. So Trump doubles down. Hard drug seizure at border compared to Obama's 8 years, DHS. The Department of Homeland Security seized nearly twice as many hard drugs at the United States-Mexico border during President Trump's first term in office than President Barack Obama's first two terms. More than twice.
Getting it done.
Yeah. I mean, so this is one of the things that we see. This president has been so good. He really has. I mean, look at the right to try. That right there is one of probably the biggest things.
Oh, yeah.
You see all of these different things. I mean, the American public trust for the FDA right now, I know personally for me, yeah.
Nada.
Nada. It seems more like the FDA is about protecting the big bucks and the people that are going through and saying, hey, well, we're going to give you this much money and make sure that you get taken care of on this side, and we're going to make all this money on this side. And this is what we're seeing kind of with the FDA in general, is that they've been making it so difficult to allow some of these procedures to go through. And we already have people that are on this earth right now that would be dead without the Right to Try Act. I mean, you have these people that are terminal that have been told, oh, there's nothing we can do for you. The FDA has not approved it. You're dying. Why do you care? It's not like it's what is it going to do? Kill me?
Yet we're going to continue to ban hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah. Well, and that's like one of the things that you can't even talk about that or mention that. Otherwise, no. You're going to be chastised and destroyed. And it's funny because I was listening to doctors that were going through and they were talking about how hydroxychloroquine is actually something that now has become so political that he was going through and he's telling his patient that, hey, I'm not sure what your political party is, but hydroxychloroquine has shown some good effects for COVID-19. And the guy's like, I don't give a crud who's in office. Just give me the medicine that's going to help me.
Yeah. With the right to try. I mean, what's going on there? We're empowering pharmacies to override doctors' orders.
Yeah. And so you see that these individuals, that right there, that's huge. I mean, if I've got a dying kid that he's dying, and you're telling me that you have something that might be able to work for him, but we don't know if it's safe and effective yet? He's dying. Do something.
They've been prescribing hydroxychloroquine for other coronaviruses for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And in fact,
Fauci
wrote
a statement in 2008, I believe, or somewhere around there, detailing the benefits of hydroxychloroquine for the coronavirus. Now, not the current one, but back then, coronavirus is a coronavirus, so.
Yeah, well, and we have these things, and the stories are coming out now to where, yeah, there was not one, but two labs also that were studying coronavirus on bats in Wuhan, and some of it to the tune of like $270,000 of American taxpayer funding that Dr. Anthony Fauci signed off on during the Obama administration and otherwise. I mean, you've got some of these things that they're just dark, man. And some of it feels like you're waking up and you're in the midst of this great spy novel about all of these hidden things between pervert islands and corrupt government officials and all the rest of it. I mean, this is the greatest making of a spy novel ever.
And nobody going to jail for it.
No, and it's almost like we need a protagonist that's going to show up and do something to make it happen. And for all I've been seeing, Trump's been trying to be that protagonist, but he can't do it alone. I mean, people, remember when you go to vote, the president does not have the power and the authority to change laws, not by anything through executive order, and his executive order can be undone. the moment that the new president steps in, like we saw with a lot of the executive orders. I mean, the executive orders that he wrote were to abolish the things that Obama put in there, many of which were destroying our country. And so when you vote, you're voting for the people who are in your city. You're voting for your congressman. You're voting for your senator. You're voting for these individuals out there. Don't just think about the president. Think about the people that are actually going to be elected into positions that are going to support you and your line of thought. And we saw recently we had the transgender Satanist that was elected sheriff or was on the ticket and was the nominee that was going on the ticket for the Republican Party because people are not taking the time to stop and actually look at who their vote is. They're just voting the party line. And a lot of times there's nobody that actually shows up for the party line. And if you're one of those people that feel like, hey, I'm going to throw my hat into this race and I can deal with all the people that are going to come out and say terrible things and do terrible things to me and my family, if you feel like you're that strong individual and you have your beliefs and your foundings in the Constitution, man, step out there. Step out there and find some companies that will support you. Step out there and find some people that will rally for you. And that's the way we start changing our country. And we're starting to see the headways and we're seeing the tide shift because this is so important. There's a book that's coming out from Ted Cruz, and he didn't write it with the intention of having Ruth Bader Ginsburg pass away as suddenly as she did, but it's called One Seat Away. And it talks about all of the different places where our freedoms are literally on the line with the Supreme Court. They get to decide, hey, do we get to have guns in California? Do we get to have standard capacity magazines, which California deems high capacity? But you look at these things and you have places like, I think up in Oregon, they were talking about how they have to have a new law that goes into place, which fortunately got struck down, but they were trying to make it to where you can only carry 6 rounds.
Saw that.
And let's say you have 3 attackers. That we know gangs travel in packs. Criminals travel in packs a lot of times.
I think Kyle Rittenhouse proved why we need standard capacity magazines.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, and let's look at that for example. The media is so terrible and so horrible that we have situations right now to where you have the Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, already came out and declared Kyle Rittenhouse a mass murderer on the largest social media platform in the country and will take down any posts in support of Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yep.
When you go through and you look at the defense team that's put together their evidence showing a linear time-to-time footage of the video, you can see Kyle was not an aggressor at all during that entire time.
He was a skilled marksman.
He was, but he's just a 17-year-old kid who is scared running for his life.
Showing the world how it's done, though.
Yeah, and so I'm appalled by the media coverage of that story in general because you go through and you look at it and you see that this is a kid who had this guy. And you can't blow a feather in one of these places apparently without hitting a child molester or somebody that sexual assaulted somebody.
No kidding.
And all of these individuals, I mean, even how that one ended up starting, the guy that was there, it's old news, but he ended up sexually assaulting and digitally raping this young girl that he had done like that every 2 years. And so we see this defense of the media on the left, even so far as to have the guy that got shot in the arm on Vice. And he's still a wanted person. And we see that these DAs are not pressing charges. I mean, that guy tried to kill a kid in the street. Why is he not in jail?
He's out there rioting with a gun.
And he's a felon.
And he's a felon. And then they tried to hide the fact when they cut the picture off so you don't see the gun in his hand.
Yeah. And the whole thing about it is, why didn't they go after him before that? Why was it all the attention on Kyle Rittenhouse when the guy's running? But the police finally did end up finding him, and he tried to pull a weapon on him and shot him. And so he ended up dying that way. And with that, we got to go to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side, and stay tuned because we have our guest coming up who's the creator of Wimkin, and it's a Facebook alternative site that I've been using and enjoying. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating 10 years on the air.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And we're back.
That's my jam.
It's a good last one, time that man. Played, we had a caller that called in, didn't like facts.
Must have been Democrat.
Yes, he was. And actually, last time we were talking about one of the things that you had a question from somebody who had sent you a message. It was about George Soros and why this guy is allowed to tamper with our elections and otherwise, and I honestly don't know. In fact, there's a lot of information that's coming out about him and others. I mean, have you heard anything about the Bloomberg guy who was going around and he's taking money and paying the fees and the fines for all of these black felons because they believe that they're going to vote for Joe Biden?
I have heard that.
And
is that Michael Bloomberg that's doing that?
Yeah. Guess. Yeah. It, allegedly, anyway, from what I've been seeing, he's been going through and they're paying off these folks' bail and their fees and stuff like that so they can end up getting out and going and voting. Because until you actually pay your debt to society, you can't vote. So you have some people that have served their term, but they still have fees and things like that they have to pay in order to vote. And so he's selectively going through, and he may actually face election tampering because he's doing that. But this is how deprived it is. It's like, oh, hey, I'm just going to buy votes.
If you got money, you don't have to go to jail. It's kind of been proven. So,
until
we bring back accountability.
Look at the sweetheart deal between Epstein and otherwise. But so this George Soros thing, it's concerning because we're seeing a lot of these protests taking place in places to where George Soros had affected the elections of our DAs in those areas. And so you have DAs that are being donated like $1 million or something to their campaign.
Or Karen Ramstroms that are being appointed to high-level Health and Human Services positions that
I haven't heard too much about that.
They get to dictate what, you know, our lockdown is being dictated by this person who used to run the abortion clinic here locally.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not super in tune with local news, but tell me a little bit more about that. How did she end up getting in there, and was it through an election process of the people here or otherwise?
No, I believe she was appointed. I don't know who appoints her. Is that a DA thing? If somebody could send us a message, that would be awesome, because you hear about other places where George Soros money is going to get people elected into DA positions, into Health and Human Services positions. And then shortly after I read about that, it put two and two together with our local Health and Human Service Director, Karen Ramstrom, who has adamantly been for the lockdown. She tried to mandate most recently healthcare workers to have a flu vaccine mandatory.
Yeah, I heard about that.
had to rescind it. There was multiple protests, lots of people coming down on her, and for whatever reason, somebody got to her, and she rescinded. Thank God.
Well, yeah, and so the thing about this vaccine that is coming out, not the flu vaccine, but this COVID vaccine, it's pretty concerning because it's actually, it's the first of its kind. It's an RNA vaccine.
Yes.
And you have DNA and you have RNA. Well, the coronavirus itself affects about 19,000 strains of your RNA. And so they're actually talking about having this vaccine that'll change the RNA in your human body to be something other than what it is that won't be susceptible to this, is my understanding of it. And that's frightening. I mean, you're talking about a first-of-its-kind thing that's literally going to change your DNA. With that, we have Nick on the phone. Nick, how's it going today?
Damn good, and I mean with a capital D. I got things popping, man, popping.
All right.
Hey, listen, I wanted to tell you about Karen Randstorm.
Yes, do. Inform me.
I think you're mistaken about her running the abortion clinic. I read up on her when she first came to town. In fact, they had a big deal. I think it was in the Reading Rag. They hired her from Davis, and she hasn't been here for a year. And she had been working someplace else before that. What made me angry is they hire somebody like that from out of town, and they bring their unfunded liabilities with them. Mm-hmm. So it added to our caseload there. Of course, Shasta County's paying over $500 million over the next 30 years to clear their unfunded liabilities. But that being said, she hasn't been around Reading long. And, you know, she is doing exactly what our supervisors hired her to do. She is telling us what to do, and the state is telling her what to do. And I think that pretty much sums it up. So I'll leave it at that, fellas, and I enjoy your show. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Nick.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's in any which way you slice it, it sounds like this lady is a part of the problem. Because what we're seeing, what we talked about before, is that you're making these mandates which are unconstitutional, that are driving businesses to close. I mean, have a look around the city, folks. It doesn't take much to drive past all these empty windows where businesses that you used to frequent are now gone. And you're seeing businesses which are barely holding on, that they can't keep their doors open. And I did want to give a shout-out real quick to the Anderson Burrito Bandito. They've been allowing sit-in. You can go in there and you can do it without a mask. You can order your food. You can sit down and eat. And they also have a Back the Blue thing going on right now, to where you can go in there and you can sign the American flag that has the blue line through it. And they have five different flags, I believe, for the different area. You have Anderson PD, Reading PD, and Red Bluff PD that is all getting flags. And I believe there's a couple other people, even the marshal's office and otherwise, that they're doing flags for. So go down there and support that. I've been doing that, and I have my name on it. I'm proud of that.
They got the best burritos in town, too.
They do. I can't even eat the whole thing. I really can't.
No. I get the tacos.
The tacos?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I flex the bowls.
Their chicken is off the hook.
I haven't had their chicken there yet. So let's see if we can find a couple more of them. So there is one thing that I think really could change the scope of the election that I'm kind of concerned about. And it's the amount of New Yorkers that are fleeing for Florida. Now, Florida is one of those swing states that's really on a ledge.
And volatile.
It's super, super important, because you're going to end up having Florida possibly decide the election. I mean, if Trump wins Florida again, then you're going to have about 10 avenues that he could win. If Trump loses Florida, it cuts down the options. But what we're seeing, the number of citizens leaving New York is at its highest rate since NYC pre-Giuliani crime wave from 2010 and 2017, according to Bongino. Looks like we have Charles on the line. Charles, welcome to the show.
Yeah. One of you was asking, how do these jokers get, what's the exact process by which these jokers get appointed?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. I know a little bit more on the national scale. That's kind of where my focus has been. And so if you can tell us a little bit more, if you know how they get appointed at a local level, is it a vote or is it just supreme bureaucracy of these individuals having power to appoint a lot of these people to positions that they want them to control?
Well, here's what happens. Staff agendizes an item for the board meeting agenda, and in this case, it can either be the personnel director or the then current HHSA director, you know, whatever. But whatever the case may be, it's put on the board of supervisor agenda, usually as a consent calendar item. Now, the reason it's, you know, the reason it's a consent calendar item, no discussion, because they're deemed non-controversial. And so it's sort of like deem and pass. I don't, you know, if you've ever heard of that term, but yeah, it's put on the consent calendar, typically, and then the Board of Supervisors just approves the consent calendar and all the, with all the items that are on it, all the spending and appointments and contract signatures, et cetera. And that's basically how it's done. It's, I mean, you know, the choices are all done by, you know, county, in this case, county staff, although the process is the same at, within the city of Reading. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here we're talking about the county. I mean, it's all a creature of the staff, and the board just rubber stamps it and moves on without any discussion.
A lot of it's pretty interesting. A lot of it's pretty interesting to me because what I've been hearing is that you have these elected mayors, and the mayor's job is really kind of the city manager job. But then the mayor ends up electing a city manager a lot of times in a lot of these states and in these counties, and then the city manager is really doing the job of the mayor, so you're not, from what I've been hearing and kind of seeing, is it seems like we should have more people that are saying we don't want a city manager and we want the mayor of the city to actually be elected and start making these calls. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Like I said, on the local level, I'm not super in tune with it. On the national level and through the Congress, House, things like that, I'm way more in tune.
We can't afford a city manager. I believe the city manager is making over $250,000 in the city of Reading.
Wow.
We just don't, we can't afford that here. That's, we're not that big of a place.
Yeah.
I mean, the mayor's position in the three cities here in Shasta County, as well as the position of county executive officer, I mean, not county, excuse me, I got that wrong, chairman of the Board of Supervisors, you know, chairman of the board and the three mayors, all they do is preside over the meetings. That's all they do. I mean, all of the, you know, the chief executive is an appointed position. So, I mean, and in this case, the CEO serves at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. So, but, you know, he does what he does because that's what he's paid to do.
Yeah.
And the board, you know, doesn't want to really look at it because, I mean, for the same reason that school board candidates don't really like showing up at forums, because they just want to, you know, skate through the election process without having to address any voters.
Well, and this is the thing, and I'm going to start doing this more myself as well. I've been focusing on a national level and on a Senate level and otherwise, but people need to start focusing more on their cities where they can actually have a greater impact. And we need to start knowing these things and understanding these things, and I'm guilty of it too. I've got this big mindset and this goal of being able to inform everybody about what's going on a national level, because, yeah, it's super important on that. I know a lot of the people who are here at the station, they're really, really in tune on the local level. And we need more people that are in tune on the local level who have an understanding of what's taking place on the national level as well. And it's not too hard to be able to get the national information, but it seems like it's a lot harder to get the local information. It seems like the coverage of these things is more biased than ever.
No kidding. Well, I mean...
Charles, we have to go to a quick break, and then we'll pick it up on the other side, okay?
All right.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
And we're back. In studio today, we have Ian, who is co-founder of Stake, and myself, Fires Embrace, and David Johnson. And we have Travis, who's being our DJ over here in the studio.
All right, all right.
We should be having a guest calling in as long as he finds the time to. He is the founder of Wimkin, who is the creator of a social media like Facebook that is a free speech platform. And so we still have Charles on the line. Charles, you had some thoughts before we ended up going to break. Go ahead. Oh, looks like Charles is off the line. Okay. So from there, we do have some things going on the national level. And one of the things that we were getting to is the effect that Florida might have and the New Yorkers fleeing to Florida that we were touching on a little bit before Charles called in. So the number of citizens leaving New York is at its highest since NYC pre-Giuliani crime wave. New York lost 1,022,071 residents, a negative 5.27% change in migration. That's huge, folks. That's big. So what we have to hope, what I'm hoping is, the people that are fleeing New York don't want to continue living under New York regime. But you see this conflation that's been taking place across the nation because people like Californians, they're leaving in droves to other states, but they bring along their same voting habits that ended up making them flee in the first place. They don't seem to put the two and two together that, hey, these high taxes are what caused me to go. Hey, this gun stuff is what caused me to go. And it's only getting worse. I mean, you look at the bills that are passing and that passed that whole thing about micro-stamping on the guns, and then for every gun that gets added, three guns get off the roster. That's so bad, because they get to pick the three guns.
It's already down to nothing.
Yeah. And so there's like 270 different firearms that theoretically are on the roster. And within those firearms, each color counts as a different firearm. And so you have Glocks that come in a tan, they come in a green, they come in this, and you have one model of Glock that maybe has four different colors for it. Those each count as a different firearm. So once you get down and you get past all the nitty-gritty on that, you're down to like 70 firearms just in the state. And most of the firearms that are coming out, like the Shield M2, it's a great gun. They fixed a lot of the problems that they had in the original, but they can't sell it here in California because of California's law. So you have a safer firearm that they're saying, oh, well, we can't do this. And then you have like the laws that they've made to where you can't have a grip on the back of a assault rifle, which an assault rifle is literally a made-up term. A rifle that's an assault rifle was propaganda to try to scare enemies back in the old days. And then the media is like, oh, well, hey, they did propaganda on this. Let's run with that.
Yeah.
And so,
let's call them high-capacity mags.
Yeah, high-capacity mags. It's standard for everybody else. And so let's touch on that for a second. According to the FBI crime database and from actual shootings where they have bodies, to stop an assailant, on average, it took, with just about any caliber, 2.7 rounds. So you're talking about three bullets. So you have maybe 10 bullets in your magazine on most of these guns if you have a full-capacity magazine, but most of the guns that are out there, like the Shield, you have like 6 to 8 shots. And so let's say you have three guys. You better doggone well hit every single one of your targets. And you miss one, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because the whole concept behind it is what doesn't kill me, it better run. And the criminals are that same way. We're at a point in time to where you see these people that are just jacked up on drugs, and you watch officers that are grown men who have training, and I'm all for more training for our officers, especially for what they're battling and what they're combating. And the problem is what we see right now is all of this stuff that they're talking about, these race wars and these false flags on these officers, they're acting like we have this huge pandemic and people are just dying and getting murdered, like this whole Breonna Taylor ordeal. It's not true.
The numbers aren't there.
No, when you go through and you look at women that were unarmed, that were wrongfully shot across the nation for like the last 5 years, on average, it's like maybe one person. And it's a tragedy every time it happens. Yeah, no doubt about it. But you're talking about a nation of 340 million people and officers trying to patrol. And if by making the officer's job harder and saying that things like all cops are bees and the rest of it, by saying things like that and making it to where you're destroying the livelihoods of officers and getting them in danger and threat for their lives, where you're having assassinations on officers, how many good officers do you think are honestly going to step into those shoes? How many officers are going to go up there and be like, hey, I'm going to do this? So, a story for you. At one time, I actually was trying out for the Highway Patrol, and it was several years ago, and I was interested in it. I had a lot of friends that joined the Highway Patrol, real good guys. One was a youth pastor of mine, and solid people. And it was about the same time that we started having the first of these things to where, like, oh, well, these cops are all racist and it's all the rest of these things, and there's no proof of it. You do have a few racist officers that need to be weeded out. But by and large, you're talking about 99.6% of the officers are good people who are doing their jobs. And the places that need the officers the most are people in these minority areas who are experiencing higher levels of crime. The places that need the ability to carry firearms the most are the citizens in those areas. So we see the laws, if we have any laws that are systemically racist, they're put there by Democrats, like the stuff about the throwaway guns and otherwise, the cheap firearms that they did rulings on, that, oh, you can't have a cheap firearm that's under like $100.
Well, who does that affect? That affects the poor mom that can't go out and buy a gun because she's got to spend $600, $700. I know when I did my concealed carry and my wife did my her concealed carry with me, it cost us like $800 just to get through the process and the firearms and the ammunition. I mean, who has that kind of disposable income? Nobody.
It's holding a lot of people back. I mean, everyone should get out there and get one. And that is one of the factors. It's, you know, it's not free. Guns are expensive. Ammo is ridiculous.
And so the other thing that people don't generally comprehend, the officer has no obligation to protect you. That's already been ruled, I think, like five times in different areas. I believe one of them all the way up to the Supreme Court. The officer has no obligation to protect you. Your protection is on you. That's why you have the Second Amendment. That's why you have the right to protect yourself. And what we see is these democratic laws are making it to where you can't protect yourself. Like in the state of California, you have to try to run out of your home and get away from the person and just let them steal whatever they want from you. How is that a government that's laying down laws to protect life and property? Why should I put myself in a position to where I'm turning my back on an assailant to try to get away from just so I don't have to face jail time? Why? A polite society is an armed society that is willing and can put down a threat to the other people. And we're missing that. We're missing that in California. We're missing that in a lot of these other liberal states because we don't have a polite society anymore. The criminals know all they have to do is turn around and flee, and you can't do anything. I mean, if I'm a criminal, I can run into your house right now and grab your TV and run on out.
They have more rights than we do.
They do. They do. And the government is actually taking a place of the police, and they're saying, we're actually going to protect the criminals. And the only time the police have an obligation to protect you is when you're in their custody. So this is why this Second Amendment is so important, because you see these people. Like I said, I was listening to Joe Rogan, and this girl's like, why isn't the government protecting us? Why isn't the police protecting the citizens? Because you see these homeless encampments, and you see these people that are high on drugs, and you see these people that are running around with machetes, and they're threatening people and all the rest of it, and the cops are nowhere to be found, and might have something to do with, I don't know, defunding your police departments, making it to where they don't have the ability to do things. And honestly, there is no way, shape, and form of why you should end up having a police officer which is subjected to dangerous conditions where they're put in a situation to where they can't defend themselves. You look and you see that there's times to where police officers are using lethal force and they still end up getting stabbed by individuals, and yet you want them to go out there with pepper balls on somebody who's high on PCP, has the strength of four guys, and is running and charging at them. He's not deterred at all.
You don't even have to defund police at this point. You're making it so hard on them. Why would anyone want to become a police officer? And the numbers are showing that, you know. I was talking to someone the other day about the Highway Patrol and the number of recruits and, you know, that are coming up through the ranks are incredibly down right now.
Well, and they've actually made it. And this was even back when I was going in. They made it to where you only didn't have to smoke weed for 1 year. Because they had so many people that were failing, they cut down on the amount of push-ups, sit-ups, and runs that you had to do in order to gain recruits. We're making our society less safe by going after the people that are protecting us and doing their job. Prime example of this is New York. New York has a new law that they put into effect that would make it a felony if your knee touches the back or somebody's neck at any point in time. In New York. So if you're struggling with somebody and your knee accidentally comes up and touches their back, you're a felon, you're going to jail. And it's not a small amount of time. So in response to that, you actually had the other counties that are around New York and the sheriff's offices and others that said, hey, we're not going to respond. I'm not sending my officers to New York. We're not doing it.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's if you're in that position, can you imagine trying to get somebody who you're struggling and fighting with, who's on PCP, who's high, he's going all around and throwing people off, and if you put your knee on his back at any point in time to try to get him to submit, you're going to jail, and I think it's like 5 years?
Jeez.
I mean, your life is over at that point. So a lot of this, I want to just point that out to people, that these limitations that are actually
making bad officers who are getting in. We're going to see more bad officers who get in because the type of people are in there and moving in there from this point on are probably going to be, I don't care. I don't care about anybody. I just want to do a job and I want to have a gun. And you're going to get more of the bad people because you only got to do like 20 push-ups and 20 sit-ups and run like a quarter mile or something. They're saying that they're going to make it less. And so it's something that we really have to start stepping up and addressing as a nation, and we have to start supporting our police and making our police revered, such as our military and otherwise. It's really important that we start doing that and stepping up. Otherwise, we're not going to have rule of law, and it's going to be Old West. So with that, we got to go to a break. KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
And we are back. You are listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We have our guest co-host in, who is Ian from Stake. And
what up?
We have also Travis, who's being our awesome DJ over there in the other room.
All right. Hey.
And I am your host for today. Both Mark and Linda are both out today. They're doing some family reunion stuff and traveling. So we were supposed to have a guest, the creator of Wimkin, on, and I have not been able to get a hold of him, but I'll see if I can have him on at another time. With that, we'll end up going into some of the information that ended up dropping about the FBI delay on Wiener's laptop in 2016. Now, anybody who's in office who's named Wiener, I feel like we should just probably stop electing people with the last name Wiener into office based upon all of the Wiener things that come out about them.
Yes.
So we have Horowitz's 2018 report on the Clinton email. Spell the site. So the site is Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N. It is a Facebook alternate media that you can go to. It's still in its beta, but the founder of it, Jason, is working towards making it a site to where you can have freedom of speech, whether you're right or left, and You can say anything you want to, no pornography. You can have people that are your kids and otherwise join up on a platform that's actually not going to censor information. And he is doing a great job on it. Like I said, it's still in beta. They've got an Apple store on it, and they've also got an Android. And you can also access it through PC. Again, that's Wimkin. And I want to tell everybody and remind everybody again that what we're going into in this November election, we've already seen all the writing on the wall with this Transition Integrity Project and with Facebook and all the rest of them that seem to be stepping in line to censor the media and censor everybody who is coming out and predicting their results for the election. Because from the reports, it really does look like Trump is going to win this thing. And they don't want that. They don't like that. And so the whole thing that I've been telling you guys is this color war that has been going on is a facade that we've done in other nations, and we've done it to overthrow legitimate elections by casting doubt upon them until the point to where they can do enough to change the election outcome.
Every 4 years.
Yeah, that too. And so you need to start embracing free speech media, because come November, if I'm right, and as you guys have seen, if you're following me on any of my platforms, I've already gotten rid of almost all of my other media. Now, Twitch won't let me close down my account for some reason, and I'm still going through the process of keeping people informed on Facebook to some extent, but move over to these places like Parler, P-O-R-L-E-R, and it is a Twitter alternative. Wimkin, it's a Facebook alternative, W-I-M-K-I-N, and a new one, Rumble, it is a YouTube alternative, and Dan Bongino is one of the people who's invested in both Parler and in Rumble, and in fact, President Trump did an exclusive with him that the very first place he posted it was Rumble, so it's a platform that's growing, there's over 300,000 content creators that are on it now. But your voice needs to be heard, especially going into November, and the best place you're going to be able to get information is on these free speech platforms. So if you haven't done so already, create one. Their content is family friendly. You can go on there and you can see it's just like Facebook. If you see something you don't like or somebody that you don't like, that's what the block button is for. The thing about it is that if we can't be able to have discussions back and forth without big tech getting involved in it, we're going to see more opportunities for them to tell us exactly what it is and shove it down our throats, things that we don't agree with and things that we know not to be true. I mean, take a look at what's taking place with Kyle Rittenhouse, with the coronavirus, with all the rest of it. You say anything they disagree with, even if they've agreed with it in the past, like the whole thing about voter mail-in fraud and all the rest of that. They're saying, oh, it doesn't happen. Well, I have all kinds of news articles that say back in 2012 and 2016 that voter fraud is a huge deal. Well, now in 2020, no, voter fraud's fine. Or there's no voter fraud or anything else like that. I mean, the underlying principle of it is voter fraud is fine. But that's the concept. And if you speak out against that on any of these platforms, you'll either have a fact checker that'll come on there and say something that's completely wrong, or you'll just, quite frankly, be banned.
Yeah, you get a little vacation from Facebook.
So I encourage everybody to take a permanent vacation from Facebook and YouTube and Google. Use Yahoo when you're using your search results. They're a little bit better than DuckDuckGo and Google. Google's terrible. And in fact, when you try to search Rumble on YouTube, you won't even see it come up in the search results. They're censoring these people so much. And on Wimkin, too, they're censoring them so, so much to where they're making it to where their password resets won't come to the emails and otherwise. And they're trying to give them as hard a time as they possibly can. And there's also, there's 9 companies that recently got together, and they're trying to fight big tech censorship. And Proton Mail is one of them, but it's a good place to go for email that's a secure end-to-end encryption on your email to where they don't spy on your emails and read all your emails like Google does. I mean, if you've got a Gmail account, which pretty much everybody does, you go through and they're reading your emails. They have programs and algorithms that will read through things that you write, and you'll actually get advertisements based about what you're talking about in your emails. You say, hey, I need to get a new puppy thing, and the next thing you know, you're getting an advertisement for a new puppy thing because they're spying on you. So you're giving them all this access to your life, and they're actually game planning things about you that you don't even know about. There's a movie called Creepy Line. I encourage everybody to check it out. It's on Amazon, and it goes through and talks about a lot of these things. But what we're seeing take place right now is an unprecedented attack on free speech, and they're using Section 230 to prevent themselves from being sued when they shouldn't be able to get away with that. Because the whole idea of Section 230 is that you're able to have an unbiased platform that you don't censor or curate any content to, and yet they're curating and censoring content and making themselves out to be a publisher based upon what they're doing, in my opinion. And we need to start supporting businesses and putting our money and our dollars and our time. The most valuable thing to any of these places is your viewership. The most valuable place is your eyes, your clicks, your typing. How many books have we all written on Facebook and otherwise? So that's one of the big things that I would say on that. We will try to have the creator of Wimkin on at a later time and see if maybe next week. We'll see if we can set it up for them. And maybe there was just some tie-up on that. I haven't been able to get a hold of him for that. But excited about our new Supreme Court nominee. And here was a fun one. Here's a fact check. Biden's fact-free Park Avenue versus Scranton line. A reminder the major media will never fact-check Biden. This one was pretty good. So, 3 years ago, Donald Trump had a nice turn of phrase explaining why he would reject the Paris Climate Accord and instead defend the U.S. industry. I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris, the president said. It was an alliterative synchronome, a literary device of speech predictably through the major liberal media had to fact-check Trump's words. And so they fact-checked him on that, but we have Joe Biden come out and says, the election is Scranton versus Park Avenue. Meaning Park Avenue, rich guys that are all turning around and voting for Trump, is what he's insinuating. The New York Times mentioned the quips predominantly in two stories, but no fact check. CNN credulously carries the line. The Washington Post doesn't fact check it. And what is the fact check? Well, you could start with my brother John Kerry at Breitbart, started to see who Park Avenue is actually supporting. This is an article, by the way, by the Washington Examiner. By an 8-to-1 margin, Park Avenue is behind Biden. Biden campaign has raised over $1 million from donors living in Park Avenue, according to the federal election FEC filings. My brother writes that it's more than eight times the $127,000 raised by the Trump campaign in the same area. So here you have Biden that's going through not getting fact-checked. And the other things about the fact-check, too, when he said 200 million people were going to die by the end of his speech. And when he said the 130 million people have died from guns, I mean, there's 10 million people left in America. And so they go through and they fact check his words on that. And they go, partially correct.
Yeah.
And they say what he meant to say is this. Well, that's not what he said. If it had been any other person, if it had been President Trump or otherwise, they'd say that's absolutely a fallacy. He is completely wrong. Here's the actual numbers. It's totally false. That would be the rating. But instead, you have Joe Biden literally saying that there's only 10 million people left in America based upon how many people are dead, and it's partially true. So, Ian, do you have anything else you want to tell us about your group? How do we find you? How do we get a hold of you?
Check us out on Facebook. We're on Wimkin as well. You know, come over there too. We're doing some good things in the community. We're promoting conservative values. And, you know, the more the merrier. We like minds over there.
What's the name of the group? How do you spell it?
Stake in NorCal. S-T-A-K-E. In NorCal, one word.
Okay. And it's a good group, folks. I've seen them do a lot of participation within the county here and within helping our city. And it's not just about turning around and protecting our city from vandals and otherwise from out-of-state bad actors. But I've also seen them do some stuff to where they've helped out our veterans. And they've gone out there and gotten together people to help veterans move and elderly and otherwise. And it's been a really good organization that's just been helping out our community a lot.
We've been helping with some cleanups around town as well. and just trying to get involved in the best way we can. We think it's important to get involved in your local government, letting people know, you know, what's going on with the people that are in charge. With that said, I would like to give a shout out to Patrick Jones for Board of Supervisors.
Absolutely.
He's the man we need in there. And even if he's not in your district, tell someone who is that Steve Morgan is not the guy.
Cool. And so the other thing that I would like to tell people is start getting out there and looking at poll worker places and sign up to become a poll worker. We need more people that are going to be out there actually protecting the integrity of our election. And with that, our time is up for the show today. We'll be back resuming our normal show next week. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating 10 years on the radio.